Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo right here for you. And today we have a wonderful show for you with our returning guest, a fabulous author. She wrote the book Wings and Other Recollections of Early Hollywood, narrated by Richard Arlen to Maxine Koolish and edited by Judy Watson as well. She did an extensive research, and let me tell you a little bit about this author. She was born in Chicago. Judy Watson has already lived in the realm of creativity of the arts. She studied writing at Arizona State University, and she's written short stories presented in a small narrative in historical. Her brother was an illustrator in film and TV. Her husband was an award-winning TV cameraman. Her son is presently a writer and executive for many industrial works, and she is the daughter of a gifted artist and photographer who worked for years in animation. When her mother left, hidden photographs, books, letters, manuscripts, tapes, and diaries to Judy Watson, she knew she needed to make this compelling first-hand book, look and look inside the golden age of Hollywood available to the public. And that's just a little bit of her background. She has extensive research, including on the Holocaust. She has extensive research not only on Richard Arlen, as well as some of the old Hollywood classic movie stars, but she has untold stories, and she has stories about our country as well and how it has changed from the past to the present. So we're going to talk today. Not only are we going to enter into the world of authors and experts, as we're both authors, and we're going to talk about what is happening in America and how is the United States of America being fundamentally changed, especially since the year 2000 and accelerating in 2009. It was President Barack Hussein Obama who stated that after he was elected, that he would fundamentally change America in 5 days. And I think he was telling us the truth. Only people didn't understand what he meant by that, so they cheered. And it was Eric Holder, his USAG, who stated, not verbatim, but he spoke at a college of mainly black students, and he told them that within 10 to 15 years, the face of America would be changed. In other words, it was going to turn from white to other ethnicities and races. Now, how did he know that, and what did he mean by that? But the college students were upset about it, and he did apologize based on their being upset. And so these issues have been happening long before they came along, obviously, because obviously they knew something the rest of the natural-born Americans didn't know, except for maybe the 1 or 2% who have lived with this agenda, like the Georgia Guidestone, the lockstep formula book and instructions, the Agenda 21, the sustaining of the planet, all of these depopulation programs that have been in place for a very long time and changing the face of America. And why are they doing this is another issue that maybe will come up on Columbo Chronicles Live. But let you know, just to let you know, these shows are archived. You can come back and listen to the shows, or you can also go on Gab. You can go on MeWe, and they will be posted there. And you can type in Columbo Chronicles in the search bar at YouTube.com, and they will take you to Columbo Chronicles channel, where you can subscribe, you can like, and you can comment and choose any of the archived shows that were taped live with authors, experts, and community leaders, or politicians as well. So let's take a break, and we will come back and enter into the world of authors and experts. But today we're also going to enter into the Justice Club, because our issues also discuss justice for America, Americans, and the world.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
The Justice Club is back on Colombo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because now we're entering into not only the world of authors and experts, but also the world of justice, because there is very little justice left in the world, including in America, as we are watching a persecution of a former president, political persecution to bankrupt, it appears, to put into prison, it appears, to destroy the empire he and his family created, and they're all natural-born Americans. So we're not doing this to people who actually burned down America, destroyed monuments and statues in America right before our very eyes on worldwide television, who said it was a peaceful protest over one man who had a rap sheet longer than your newspaper of criminal acts against victims. Amazing, amazing what is happening and who they're funding to destroy our nation and turn what is right is wrong. What is wrong is right. What is good is evil. What is evil is good. And it's just a spiritual war against God, in my opinion, against procreation, animals, birds, mammals, or babies. And without babies, without children, you have no sovereign nations, because by attrition and depopulation, they will not exist, which is a globalist agenda 21 of reducing the population by 50% by 2030 is the goal. But I think they're trying to accelerate it. And 90% by 2050. So we have a lot to talk about. Don't want you to miss out, but let's do something first. Let's say hello to Judy Watson, the author of Wings. Hi, Judy. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, Rose. We've got a lot to talk about, and I'm just looking at an article about Mitch McConnell stepping down, but I have my own point of view on that.
What is that, Judy?
Well, I watched him actually have a stroke on the air, and I had lived with a man who had strokes like that prior to dying of an aneurysm. And when I saw that happening with McConnell, I thought, oh, my God, I hope they allow this man to save his life and step down, or will the party put as much pressure on him as the Democrats put on Senator Feinstein to stay in power? Whenever I saw her in a Senate hearing, my heart went out to her. My God, what she suffered and what they put her through. No, I mean, it was apparent McConnell was sick and he needed to withdraw. How do you feel about that?
Well, Judy, now that you're interviewing me and asking me questions, I think I'm so glad you did, because I do have an opinion on that. First of all, I believe that we are lacking health care checks for our public officials, whether they are first-time campaigners, regardless of their age, because anybody can have a serious health issue or a mental health issue at any age. And also, I think that they should also not only check for their mental and physical abilities to be in public office, but I also think that they should check their background, and they should check for alcoholism, and they should also be randomly tested for drugs. It's very important, because we have elected people into public office who admitted to using serious drugs in the past. And if anyone knows anything about someone who got hooked on drugs, it is not just at the moment I gave it up or I gave it up 5 years ago. It is a lifetime program that these people must be on who get hooked on drugs so that they don't go back to drugs. And so there's a lot of issues there about that are lacking in electing public officials. But to go back to the point where, let's say you're elderly and you are having strokes right in front of the television set, or you cannot find your way off the stage, or you cannot climb up the stairs without tripping, these doctors who are supposed to be taking care of these people and their families, in my opinion, only my opinion, are actually engaging in elder abuse by not bringing it to the attention of those in the family, to the candidate who's maybe having these issues, and also to the senators who should be looking at these issues and switching them, because we saw Senator Feinstein, who obviously was not healthy, and they still brought her in to vote and speak out on certain issues, and shortly thereafter she passed away. We saw Justice Ginsburg, who had cancer and wasn't even able to show up at the hearings, and there was another justice too, was like almost 100, who refused to resign even though he was seriously ill and couldn't show up for work. These issues need to be addressed, because number one, I'm not saying that anybody who isn't mature or older can't be in office. I'm saying that we need to have checks on, are these people mentally, physically fit for public office? Because our lives are on the line, and our borders are being violated by, even though we have state and federal and constitutional laws to protect us from a foreign enemy invasion. And when you have millions, I would say there's probably 50 million unidentified illegals in our country right now since probably 1993, but accelerated in 2009, because not only, Judy, are they coming across and walking across the borders after Obama changed detain and deport to detain and release, and tying the hands of Border Patrol, ICE, sheriffs, and police from questioning these people, just allowing them to pour in. In 2021 on Facebook, I wrote that and posted that I believe there's not 12 million like MSM was saying, illegals in our country, but more like 30 million. And then 2 weeks later, Stanford posted on Facebook that their studies showed there were 29.5 million illegals in our country. So I was extremely close to that 30 million mark. So now I'm predicting there are at least 50 million unidentified illegals on our taxpayer-funded welfare programs that are putting them up in hotels. And I saw them state on the news that they even get maid service. So do you get maid service, Judy, is my question to you.
Well, not unless I pay for it out of my own pocket. And then there's an interesting little fact that we have all forgotten, that if you do have maid service, and I think if you pay more than a couple thousand dollars a year, you have to report that on your taxes, and then you'll get taxed on that. So, no, there's nothing free for those of us who live as law-abiding people. It's very difficult, isn't it, because to establish what is real and what isn't real, because we know when we watch television now, we're not seeing reality. As I said before to you, and I'm going to say it here, last week Paramount Global, which is a huge monopolistic company which has studios and streaming and news stations here locally and everything you can imagine, laid off 800 people. And nothing was said on the local news. I thought that was fascinating. And therefore, the media locally here was completely controlled by this company, which obviously did not want this to get out. Now, I found it on the Internet. I found it on YouTube. I found it all over. But I was aware. Most people are not aware. And that's something else. Why is the media now withholding information from the public?
Well, they've been doing it for a long time because we watched an insurrection, but they didn't call it an insurrection. They called it a peaceful protest because the billionaire that was funding it donates to many, many of the people who run for public office, and including the Department of Justice now, which I find appalling and despicable that our government has not ended that policy where people who are in the Department of Justice must campaign. People who are in the Department of Justice should not have to campaign, and they should not be having to take donations from the public, because that taints them when they are in public office, especially when you have billionaires donating millions to their campaign. Then they are beholden to their donor, and so political influence, in my opinion, and you cannot be objective and fair to everyone. And as we're seeing today, Judy, as I'm an advocate of 30 years for justice, the legendary advocate for justice who's helped people around this country and even from other countries who came here and left after they experienced the injustices, who came to me for a consultation because they were being ripped off or injured in some way or falsely accused or their property was being taken by corrupted city councilmen or supervisors or whoever who are involved with the developers, and or it's a lot of different issues of injustices and legal abuses that have been going on, but they are not addressed because unless you have a big name, the media doesn't generally want to talk to Joe Smith or Jane Smith about their issues, even if they could be major and affect them in the future. And so what we have is we have these wealthy people donating to USAGs, to attorney generals, to district attorneys, to prosecutors. No one in the Department of Justice should be running for public office. They should be vetted and background checked based on their background and their ability to lead and their merits and achievements within those departments. so that they can remain objective and fair for all people, regardless of sexual preferences now, regardless of political preferences, which is nobody's business, and allowed in the United States until recently, where people are now attacking other people for their political beliefs or preferences of candidate or party, and then ignoring the genital mutilation of children in this country, which was we touted as a crime in the Middle East and other countries. So we are actually the ones who have been influenced by foreign nations and money, in my opinion. What do you think?
What do I think? I think, because I'm old now, that most of us coming out of the Second World War, which is I was practically born into, began to see America as the land of opportunity. We were open to everything, and we accepted, and we were all hopeful. And I think it's under that kind of premise that those people who have ulterior motives are the most happy, because now they can successfully rape, murder, destroy, and maybe get caught and maybe not. And that's unfortunately what I think has happened, that people have very, very slowly begun to wake up. I told you today I talked to a girl in Montana. She knew nothing about what we have undergone here under Governor Newsom and Senator Wiener and the terrible things that they have tried to do together. And she had no idea, never heard of Senator Wiener, and I instilled her in. But it made me sad to think that we are here and they are there, and we definitely are a country of very different states and different people. And the way we look, you and I, is because of what we have seen, what we've been subjected to, what we've been denied, what we've been accused of, what we've had to fight our way through. But in other states, they don't have that rose. They really don't. And I thought I should move to Montana at the time I got off the phone, because it was so nice. Wouldn't it be nice?
Well, you know, you laugh, but the truth is, Judy, that people are moving out of California, are moving out of New York. People with money, Americans with money, are getting out because of the regulations, because of the excessive regulations, excessive mandates they spewed in our states during those lockdowns. They were insane. You know, use disposable dishes and all this garbage they were spewing. Wear 2, 3, and 4 masks so you can't even breathe, and a plastic shield. And now Dr. Fauci comes down and says, well, they don't really stop a virus. It was just, you know, like, you know, our suggestion, you know. And with no scientific evidence at all, as I was the first one to research it, obviously, and post on Rose for Justice blog, that there is no scientific evidence in the entire world that wearing a mask stops a virus, or why would we need jabs until the day we die if it stops a virus? So these things, Judy, that these wealthy people are investing in are not even being held accountable for anything they've done.
Hey, I just told you he had to get his money back. You know, Newsom went out. He bought 1 million masks from China while we're fighting a virus that came in from China. And we, as good Americans, want to see him make his profits. Don't you understand that, Rose?
God bless them, right?
It's all capitalism, just plain old capitalism. I mean, the fact that he would import masks from China. Hey, but let's not question. How can we question him? He's the governor of California, and we're not allowed to question those things. And, in fact, that was one of the most interesting aspects of those years of COVID. No questions allowed to be asked. But slowly but surely, they were. And it was like a hole, you know, like there's a wall, and there's a little crack under the wall, and the crack grows into a hole, and the hole grows into a large area, and slowly but surely the stream of information begins to come in, and that's what has happened. And here
well, the frontline doctors that were trying to tell them to take hydrochloroquine or ivermectin and B3 and vitamin C and zinc and all these different things that they have been using for years, for generations, to ward off the virus, not just COVID, but other viruses, which is what they use or used. They were silenced, and some of them stated they were threatened, and many of them aren't even alive today, which is very curious.
Well, it's not really. I mean, I take that website from, I think it's Dr. Robert Malone, who was one of the founders of Myrna, and he began to realize what he had done. He withdrew. When he withdrew, they have not stopped coming after him and trying to destroy him. Now he just has a small farm with his wife, tries to lead a peaceful life, and does put out emails about what he's still going through. Because when you are a voice that differs from a huge global concern, you are not to be allowed in this society. And I find that so interesting, you know. And so we get to watch. And here's the part of it that's amazing to me. Everybody is watching. It reminds me of Nazi Germany, pictures about Nazi Germany. I remember there was a famous one about a man who writes a book and they hide it under the flooring in the wood. And he's taken away, and then finally it gets out there and it's published. And you're thinking, the truth always does eventually get known. But so many people suffer in the process because other people see this suffering and they use it as a means of making money and capitalizing on it, you know. And it's just, if I thought the story were new, but it's not, and it's just, goes on and on and on. And you
well,
have to make a choice. How am I going to live my life? That's how I say to myself. How am I going to live my life? Am I going to live it on this daily basis that I'm aware that everything I say is listened to, everything is watched through the TV, that AI is coming in like gangbusters, and that next year when I get on the phone and have a complaint, it will be to a voice that doesn't have any monotone in it because I will be dealing with AI, and my words will be meaningless, and I'm really glad that I'm old. That's the truth, and that I won't be around in 10 years or more because I can see where this all is going, Rose, and I don't like to live this way. I don't think anybody does.
Well, this is the United States of America, and the United States of America is fundamentally changed, and what he meant by that is that, and what Holder, I believe, in my opinion, meant by changing the face of America was that it was no longer going to be a majority of Europeans, you know,
right.
People who had any you know, genealogy to links to bloodlines to Europeans, especially if you were fair. Because I'm olive skin, but my birth certificate says white Italian. So, you know, you can be olive skin and still be white. So from your family bloodline. And so anybody that's connected, you know, to Europe and Canada probably and America seems to be on the chopping block for persecution because a majority are, or if you're a Christian or a Jew, there's a lot of persecution going on if people did their research by against Jews and against Christians right now. And this is very, very serious because our nation is a Judeo-Christian foundation, not meaning you have to be a Jew or a Christian, meaning that and rooted from the Bible and the Ten Commandments, and so is the Constitution by God-fearing men who created it, wrote it, approved it, and signed it under risk. And then that was to protect us from being persecuted and for being a Jew or a Christian or a Catholic or or whatever religion you chose to be peacefully in our country. But we have been invaded by people who are gang members, who are jihadists, and this is FBI information, terrorists, cartel members, China, Chinese spies coming in, Chinese nationals buying up our farmland near military bases. China allowed to, under Clinton's regime, allowed to enter through our international waters freely and import and export our products, deliver them back to their country to stamp made in China and bring them back to our country to sell them to Americans, even though we developed them and invented them. And then we get blamed for owing China when China owes us, because if it hadn't been for Clinton opening those borders and selling out our United States manufacturing companies, our intellectual property, and our jobs, China would not be wealthy today. And they are just loaning us our own money back that we freely gave to them under his approval.
But look what happened to Trump when he went against NAFTA. People rose up in arms without the slightest idea of what it really was. But I remember it very well because my father was a manufacturer. We manufactured women's clothing. And when Clinton did what he did and signed that law and destroyed American manufacturing, because that's what the law did, I saw everything disappear, and it wasn't good, Rose. I grew up as a child going down to the factories, meeting the people, knowing the people who were paid well for all their skills and specialties. We made buttons in America. We made fabric in America. We cut the cloth in America. We had designers that were American. All the people who sewed, they might have been Latino, but they were skilled Americans. Everybody was so proud to do what they did. And it didn't matter if you were in a union or not. You got good, solid wages. And for this man to have done what he did, it's just, you know, I saw it all destroyed, Rose. I saw it firsthand destroyed.
Well, I remember, you know, Perot was running for president, and I was supporting Perot, and I attended a lot of different events. I was on AM/FM radio at the time, so I was very involved and active. And I attended one of his speeches and events, and I truly thought he would be great for America. And then I heard that he had allegedly, let me say, been threatened, and that's why he bowed out and from the race. And I think that happens, and I think it's happened in the past, and because, you know, there's so much behind the scenes going on that the public doesn't know about, and including myself, but I'm just, you know, from what I've learned over the years and through being active in politics and interviewing the victims of corruption and injustices to help them become survivors, because this is a world of survivors. You have to be strong to survive in this world because there is so much corruption. But unfortunately, when you talk about the clothing business that your dad was in, and it was made in America. Everybody wanted to wear something that was made in America around the world. We were number one. And I wrote a book called Dressing Up and Dressing Down. That's a new book that they can find on Amazon.com. It's a blast from the past to the present to how every generation the styles change and the fashions. But the challenges today, it also addresses the challenges today that you were mentioning of after outsourcing all of our materials and our needles and our buttons and batteries and everything that could possibly the fashion world may need, materials, everything, they are dependent on third world countries supplying them with these with these materials that they need and products that they need to keep this worldwide industry in business, which also includes Milan and Paris and the UK. And so now we've got to worry about, is there going to be enough water to make the clothes? Who controls the water? Who's controlling most of the cotton and so forth? And now that we have AI and they're building all these robots, robots don't wear clothes, Judy. So what's going to happen to the fashion world?
Well, we can all wear shifts, you know, and we probably will.
No, think about that. Think about, seriously, not even joking, AI, if they start keep replacing humans with robots, there goes the fashion industry and everybody will be wearing a flour sack.
Amen.
Yeah, nobody thinks about these things and the damage they have done to the American fashion industry. They have caused a huge, and that's what the book's about, really, is the challenge that the American fashion industry has faced, which will affect Milan and the UK and London. And so, and the retailers and the workers, it affects millions of people.
It's pretty sad. I go into the stores and everything, of course, it looks more and more alike. And pretty soon we will all be wearing the same uniform, right? Because then you don't have to worry collectively about where the materials come from or how they're made. And perhaps that is where we're going. I don't know. I really don't.
That's my whole point, is where are we going with that?
Well, Rose, it doesn't
Where
mean.
Is the government? Where is the government not seeing any of this, or do they see it and they don't care? Because as long as they're getting those donations from these wealthy people who are involved in destroying these industries in America, monopolizing everything they can, out of greed, because the country was built on greed, and it is going down because of greed too, and the lack of believing in God. By telling Americans when they started flying in all these people from around the world, all religions are the same, all people are equal, all people are the same. That is not even true. We may have all been born equally through our mother's womb, but guess what? Everybody isn't equal. If everybody was equal, nobody would be poor.
I used to be on the, you know, that neighborhood watch thing, and one day a sheriff let us all know via the internet that a illegal alien had kidnapped and raped a 15-year-old girl. We were all shocked. Now, the comments that came back, though, were even more shocking. I said I felt that as he was an illegal, this was a horrible crime, he should be deported and not be entitled to a day in court. People attacked me, Rose. How dare you not give him his day in court? This is America. I said, he's not an American. He's done a horrible thing. He's kidnapped a child and raped her. It doesn't matter, I was told. They threw me off the neighborhood watch.
Well, it doesn't matter until it happens to them or their children. That's when it matters, Judy.
And
the chances of that happening are even greater today than then, because now we probably do have 50 million unidentified, mostly males, according to the FBI, mostly healthy males coming into our country. Now, why would they be importing mostly healthy males, uneducated, poor, and belong to gangs, jihadists, terrorist groups, and bringing in drugs and guns into our inner city? You can see what they've done to the inner cities in Los Angeles, Santa Monica, Venice, where there's tent cities everywhere and a bunch of drug addicts hanging around. That was the Americans who probably had jobs in the past, but then got hooked on these drugs that had been allowed to come into America. And I remember, I don't know, was it the 80s or 90s when they said it's a war on drugs? And no, it was a war for drugs, Judy. It was a war for drugs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I've seen him on open television advocating for this. I remember him going on a program, Dr. Phil. Everyone was so angry with him. No, you don't want to do that. You want to help people. And in order to help people, you have to get them into aid. You have to get away from the drugs. And he said, and he was very open about it, no, we want them to have the needles. We want them the places to shoot up. We want to give them the drugs. Well, at least we'll know where they are. And they are in San Francisco. He has proven his point. And he has had aid all along the way by Newsom. And I do wonder what Newsom is going to do, because now Newsom does want to run for the presidency, and it will be fascinating to see what he does with his best bud, Wiener. And he is a good friend of his. And he's had so much pull, Wiener. He represents, he says, LGBT. What has that got to do with drugs? He represents LGBT. What has that got to do with open prostitution of children on the streets?
Well, I think what's happened is that crime has created organized syndicates, and we're not seeing it because we're not criminals, so we don't really have those types of minds. But just guessing, on top of my head here, it seems to me that there are many, many different mafias, the mafiosos, many of these gangs belong to organized crime. You know, they have drug lords, they have their godfathers, whatever, who run the operations. And so this has left the American people like in a bubble, like we're in a, we're on a game board. And these people with their AI now, they can spy on us, including the criminals, and some work in the government, white-collar criminals. And they abuse their power with this AI, artificial intelligence, of spying on people, listening to people. But the bottom line is, Judy, they're all committing a crime, because the United States Constitution says they are not to invade our privacy. So any president or congressional member who allowed it outside of you being a suspect and getting a warrant signed by a judge that you're under investigation and they have the authority to do that, these are all violations of the Constitution. They are not following constitutional law anymore. They are doing everything by executive order, by a whim, and they are ignoring the Constitution, because only the Congress can make laws. They make laws, they review the laws, they read the laws, and they send it to the Senate, and they all have to approve them. Then it goes to the president. He doesn't make the laws. It's not even in his five duties as a president of the United States to turn executive orders into law, because it doesn't have the approval of the Congress. So,
all right, so
that's called a dictatorship, Judy. That's called a dictatorship.
Okay, Biden just forgave hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loans. And even the news said he has no authority to do that. So what?
They're doing whatever they want to do.
So how can that money go out?
Who gave them the authority? Who gave them the authority to print billions and billions and trillions of dollars, and the American people got no benefit from it? You know what the American people got? They got more taxes, because now they can't even afford to pay that back at all, not even the interest. So what they really need to do, in my opinion, Judy, is to use the good old American bankruptcy laws and wipe out the stimulus debt that they forced on the American people, because it wasn't approved by the American people. It was just done by those people at the top who decided that's what they were going to do. And guess what? We don't even know where that money went.
Well, we have no idea about what's happening in Ukraine, which I think Americans do understand. I was just reading here an article I told you on George Soros. Really good interview with him. It's 1995. The old New Yorker magazine used to really do fabulous work. I used to take them. I don't anymore, because those reporters are gone. But he became involved in and began investing in Ukraine in 1994. I had no idea that he was so involved. And he basically has, you know, wherever he goes, he needs to control the situation. That's basically how the article ended up. It wasn't detrimental to him talking about his business acumen and how brilliant he thinks he is, how wonderful he thinks he is, and how he does take over. Everywhere he goes, he insists that he is the answer, he is the one. It's not that he's God, but he's close to God, you know, and therefore he needs to be the one in charge. But I was just so surprised to find out about the Ukraine, and I had no idea that we were involved in this country. Did you know that since 1994?
Well, what I know is what I read, and what I read is that the stories allege that Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the world, that our government families were involved in their energy companies or oil companies. They were on the board of directors making tons of money doing nothing. I would like a job like that, wouldn't you, where they just send me a check for $80,000 a month?
I can understand. Well, then I can understand why Biden's kid would take the job, wouldn't you? Give
well,
that
I can
money
understand why anyone's kid would take the job. You don't have to do
anything.
Just
give me the money.
You can stay home and paint and sell your pictures, too, even though you were never a painter.
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty
good,
too.
Numbers. I can put them on the paint, on the canvas.
I mean, when you think about all this insanity, and really and truly, when you look at it, it just seems so insane that all these things can be happening with the open borders. Oh, just let them in. Who cares? Just keep coming, coming, coming. I mean, you know, we'll just move the Americans out of their homes and they can live there. We're going to move all the Americans out of the hotels, and all these illegals can have maid service. They deserve it. And the American people, well, we're going to replace you with robots.
And not too soon, I can say.
Or jabs.
You know?
Or experimental jabs, one or the other.
Like, don't forget AI. Groom my Pomeranian every month. I do pay for one. You know, I like her kept up. But make sure. Oh, my God.
But really, actually, when you look back at the past and how America was saved, secure, patriotism was strong. We stood up for the national anthem. We put our hands on our hearts. We waved the American flag. We praised our military, our Navy, our Marines, all of them with, you know, great respect, our fallen heroes. Police officers, our sheriffs, all those who work in the Department of Justice. And now, because of the greed and the corporatocracy that has taken over the government by lobbyists who go into Vegas suites and make secret deals behind closed doors, I guess, for campaign donations that are unlimited. You can donate as much as you want to that person. So if you're donating $1 million or $2 million to somebody who was making maybe $50,000, $100,000 a year on the job paid by the taxpayers, how hard would that be to turn that down?
Well, it's not hard at all. You know, I worked in a law firm for about 10 years. I worked in law. And I remember myself and another young girl, we had a discussion because at some point in time we knew that our lawyers would ask us to do something dishonest. And it did come about with me, and I refused. And subsequently he was fired because he was using the time of the office when he should have been at work to take trips. It's nice to do, you know. I hope he had a good time. But, and he was also using me, though I was paid for by the office, as his private secretary to do billings and Xeroxing, everything using all the supplies and things that the firm had. And I thought, you know, I can only do this so long, and I was just not going to lie and say he was in a deposition when he was going on a trip to Europe, you know. And reminds me of what I'm watching with that Fannie Willis thing and her boyfriend there. It's hilarious to watch. But it happens all the time. And
it's not hilarious. I'll tell you what, it's not even hilarious that it just, because I've been an advocate for justice and I've had firsthand experience at injustices and legal abuses. So, and tons of research, and I've taken paralegal classes and you're a legal secretary and all this. So yes, I'm very familiar with injustices and corruption and legal abuse. And it's very easy for them to target anybody. It's very easy if they target you because they have unbountiful financial resources, which aren't their own but belong to the taxpayers that then end up in their coffers. So they can do whatever they want to you. And it is going to be very, very difficult, like it is for DJT, to fight back no matter how much money you have, because they can make the fine so high to wipe you out. They can confiscate your property based on their accusations. I've seen it happen, and experienced it. And I can tell you that they can drop you, knock you off your pedestal if you are arrogant and think that, you know, you're above everybody else in the clouds there. If they want to target you and they're in the positions of power to do it and they are corrupt officials, there's so much they can do to people, innocent people, hurt them, persecute them, torture them, drive them crazy. Because once you're financially drained, it affects your emotions and your ability to be even able to go to court or find the time, because now you need to find a job and you can't afford to lose your job. They know all of this. They know how to do it. And fortunately, most are not that corrupt, but there are those who are. And apparently, Trump stepped on somebody's toes, and in my opinion, who didn't like his politics and expected him to be one way, and he didn't follow the process. And so he is now being punished. That's my opinion. He's being punished.
Well, I think most people watch and observe, as you do, Rose, and feel that, I've said it before, I'm not a fan of Trump. I found him arrogant. I really thought he bullied his way through some of these elections. I did not like him using the abusive terms he used towards other people. So many things. But it never would have occurred to me to do what they're doing to him. And this gives him great sympathy in the eyes of the American public. And I have a theory.
Well, I can tell you why, Judy, because when the American people find out that they can persecute you politically and they can target you and destroy a billionaire, they wonder, what on earth could they do to me?
Yeah.
Or my child, or my loved one, or my spouse. You know, if you got targeted, I mean, everybody knows there are bad apple cops. I worked in the sheriff's department for 5 years, so I learned a lot on the job, and I worked for the captain. And as a stenographer, the thing is that you learn a lot. And so I was very young, so it was very shocking what I was learning. But you never forget it. And I can tell you there are most of them are at least, you know, I believe most are just hardworking detectives, hardworking police officers just trying to do their job. But if you get a bad apple, and there are bad apples in every profession, and there's bad apples as we see in the Department of Justice, but more now than in the past, I think, from what we're watching on social media and the news, that things can happen to good people just at a traffic stop.
Honestly, honey, they've been happening for years. When I worked in the law firm, I had a few times that were just crazy that happened to me. And thank God I had an attorney represent me for free. Thank you. And he did, and it went away. It went away because the moment they had knew they had to deal with a lawyer, a little bit different than dealing with a small individual lady. And I hadn't done anything wrong. But the one case that was always interesting, my daughter...
You don't have to do anything wrong. You just have to be a target for somebody who doesn't like you.
She'd worked for a year for a designer who made children's clothing. She had full... It was 100% covered by her insurance. You know, after you work a year, she had 1099, she paid her taxes, blah, blah, blah. So she had the surgery. I got a phone call from the insurance company. Well, you're going to have to pay for the surgery. And I said, well, what are you talking about? This is going way back. She's covered. No, she's not. I said, yes, she is. She has her 10. No, you are responsible, and you will have to pay. One of the things I knew about this firm was that they hired beautiful, beautiful Russian and Polish girls under the table. They were completely illegal. They were not even supposed to be in this country. So I told my boss what I was going through, and he picked up the phone. I always loved that story. And he called the owner, and he said, I understand what you've done, but however, I'm going to have to let them know that you are hiring illegals under the table. You don't mind, do you, if I go to the state, you know, and report you? And then the next day I got a phone call from the insurance company. Guess what? We found out you're 100% covered. God.
Well, the funny part about what you just said right now is the times have changed. Now if they find out you're legal, you're the target, not if you're illegal on the job.
God. Yeah, I don't even know how insurance works anymore. That was back in the, oh, my gosh, when was that? Like 30
well,
years ago.
Well, unfortunately, Judy, we've run out of time, but it's been a kick talking to you today. And hopefully we've touched on some issues that also bother other people, not just the two of us who do a lot of research and have enough experience to know that we don't like what is wrong is right and what is right is wrong, or what is evil is good and what is good is evil. No, we like the morals and the integrity and the good character of our leaders to be elected in the office and to have our borders secure and to have legal immigration restored and the detain and release change to detain and deport. But I say, God bless you, Judy. Keep up the good work you're doing, and the research you do is invaluable. And I always love talking to you. You're always welcome back, and God bless you. And thank you so much, Colombo Chronicles.
Take care, and let's hope we have an interesting night, because I really want to hear about Mitch McConnell. Okay. All right, darling.
All right.
I hope
bye-bye. Well, that's all we have time for. We've run out of time. We have to leave the building. So God bless you. God bless America. And may God restore and intervene our great republic and our borders and our sovereignty and protect the American people for real change.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.